Laurie, would you say that the Weingard had anything to do, or the Winged, I think, as you pronounce it, had anything to do with Laurie Bravo's rape and you naming it that or anything? Laurie?
Yeah.
Would you say that the Winged had anything to do with the naming of the Lori Bravo rape or what
No,
actually happened?
No. Rape had everything. Lori Bravo Rape was named rape. So because I was raped in the year 2000, I was at a place and I was actually raped. They never caught the person, and nobody I had seen had used it. And I thought, wow, how taboo! I have to use it. And then Lori Bravo with rape just kind of. I noticed that my name is already so known that putting it with the word made it even more powerful. Instead of just rape, Lori Bravo raped, it reminded me of like if you read a news, something in like a news headline, it would say, Lori Bravo raped, you know, story at 11. And I thought,
Right.
hey, everything that I say has to do with confession, so that actually works really well. And yeah, no, I've always been obsessed with things that have to do with violation, so that's where the winged. Just like I said, the winged was something that was just a character in a story, so.
You know, some people are regarded, you can regard as religious and some are spiritual. And I do hear where you're coming from about this. Would you consider yourself religious or spiritual?
I definitely think I'm spiritual, but then I'm religious in the fact that to me, art is my God, so. Cats are my God, so maybe in that way, you know, so is health. But then again, you know, I don't know. I am Mexican, and my dad was Roman Catholic, so he wasn't a huge practicer, but I love the iconography, and I like to mix the iconography with other things to twist around the ideas or whatnot. I'm obsessed with skeletons, which is a really Mexican thing. So it's like. That's just something that I've been obsessed with all my life. It's probably why I prefer men that look like skeletons. You know, I like them fey and kind of gay. And you know, but yeah, I think that's definitely. I would say I'm spiritual, but I'm really religious when it comes to things that I believe in. And I definitely, you know, believe that art really is the power of everything. So.
Well, it sounds like maybe with the way you just described the man, it sounds like you like to be the dominating one.
Not really. I actually prefer someone that is as smart as me and can rival me in art. That's all my partners have always rivaled me. If they didn't, I couldn't be partners with them. I mean, that we just wouldn't fly. I actually don't like to be the dominant. I like equality in a relationship, and the relationships I have had have always been equal. And when they don't become, when they stop being equal, then they get kicked to the curb, basically, or whatever, however you want to look at it. So, you know,
Sounds like
I mean,
that's
if they
possible,
can't grow
hopefully.
with me, you got to grow with me, and I grow really fast. I'm not the same person by a day-to-day basis. So it's like if you got to keep up with me, and I'm kind of a driven person by
Yeah.
nature. So, yeah.
Sort of like a transformation. Your life is like a
Constantly
transformation.
transforming, constantly. I mean, like I said, a thousand voices is a joke to me as well, just because of the fact that I do have lots and lots and lots and lots of people in my head that I know they're not real, but they're my personalities. I'm an actress also, so it's like I have that in me to be an actress and making characters up, and I do it all the time. I have voices for all my cats. I have all kinds of weird stuff, and people expect that of me, but you know, that it's just the way it is. So a lot of times people, you know, tend to get shied away, I guess, by the fact that I'm a quick person and you have to be quick. You know, that's one thing. My closest friends are extremely quick-witted, intelligent people. 90% of them are artists because it just makes sense to me. It's, you know, I can't relate to people that have kids and are married and all that. I just don't even understand it. It makes no sense to me. So.
Let's go back to Nuclear Death. Did Nuclear Death do any touring at all? How did the albums do financially, if you would?
The touring, we did tour. We toured all the way up through the, let's see, through For Our Dead EP, and then that was it. And then Steve and I decided to become basically studio musicians, and that's what we did. When I fired Phil, 6 years into the band, because I fired Joel like 4 years into the band. I mean, he's only in the band for 4 years and only on one record. So, you know, still, Steve is much, much better musician. In fact, Steve's the only person I still talk to. Anyway, so he, we fired Phil, and then we stopped touring because I was having trouble, which what I would find out later is spina bifida, which I was born with, which is a spine disease. And I couldn't really tour like I wanted to at the time. So we took time off, and he and I just made the studio albums that are the last albums that we made. And as far as financially, I don't know. I think they do better now, really. I can't really say I ever saw any money from anything, but that's never been about what we're about anyway. I mean, I always wondered why other people were selling more. Like, I didn't do all, like, or not, I didn't always wonder. I mean, people would think, you know, oh, Cannibal Corpse sells more. And I'm like, well, Cannibal Corpse is crap. You know, they're just some dudes that, like, play into the mainstream of, like, not, it's so over the top, it's ridiculous and silly. And, you know, I'm a more serious musician, and I think our music has more musical merit. So, you know, it's definitely art record. They're art records. They're made for what eventually became independent indie bands. I mean, we're definitely an indie band.
Hey, Lori, how about something exclusive for our Deathscream.net audience? Maybe pick up a guitar and sing us a song.
All right, let's do it. Yes. I'm bring it into my gallery over here because it sounds better, has good acoustics in there. So I'll definitely do that.
Great, here we go. Deathscream.net presents Lori Bravo's Rape. What number are we going to do?
All right, let's see. Okay, let me grab my, let me see here just a second. So I put the phone down, I might have to make sure I'm tuned. My cat's always detuned my guitar. There we go. All right, so I'm gonna go for it. This song is called Losing My Legs.
Hear it nice and loud. Losing My Legs by Lori Bravo Drake.
Like that.
Lori Bravo, I think that the new one has more.
Yes, it is. It's brand new. I just wrote it last night, actually.
Last night? Oh, that's an exclusive.
Yeah, it's the first time I've actually played it. Like, I was teaching, like I was writing the lyrics last night, and then I just started writing the music this morning, and then I thought, well, I'll just do that one, because that way you give me some practice, so thanks for listening.
It's more common. It is more common, the new song, with, say, Heart's new album's WTF on their new album, than it does with anything death metal. What a departure.
Because we did the best death metal record out there, and that's the Planet Asexual. I mean, you can't go further than that. As far as I'm concerned, that is further. And I never, again, remember, nuclear death didn't exist when death metal existed, because that's a newer term. Nuclear death is nuclear death music. And I never put myself into a box, ever. And everything I do is extreme as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, there's no departure. It's called growth. And like I said, we put out the best records of that genre, whatever they want to call it, but we never, ever, ever called ourselves those terms. We didn't call ourselves that. Other people did. We always called our music nuclear death music, because that's what it is, you know?
What happened to that label you were on, Wild Rags Records, with that notorious owner, Ricardo Campos?
Yeah, that dude ripped everybody off and ended up going to prison for tax evasion, I hear, but that's all I know. I mean, we got rid of the guy right away, and that was about it. I mean, you know, it's just cool to be independently owning everything I do. I produce everything I do. I do it all. That way I don't have to worry about paying anyone else, and I also don't have to worry about anyone fucking with me. You know what I mean? Like, it's good. It's a good thing. Like, you shouldn't, nowadays, no one needs to be signed to anything. They should just do it themselves. It's much more, aside from distribution, which I have people in the business that can do that for me with my new music that'll be coming out at the end of the year, the new record, Ms. Apocalypse. Yeah, that's the only thing I really need an outside person for, is distribution. Other than that, I don't really need it, because I can do it all on my own, you know, and that's a cool thing, because not too many women are out there doing it all, like producing everything that they do, and I think there needs to be more, so I'm really glad that I can be a part of blazing that trail and getting more women into being engineers, mixing their own work, mastering it, producing it. That you need to do that, you know, so...
How long, far along are we with the new record Apocalypse, and when is it slated to be released?
Well, I'm going to be releasing a pre-record called Black Rabbits, and that's going to be free, and it's going to be pretty much just finishing mixing, not mixing really, just kind of remastering a little bit of some of the songs. It's everything that I recorded in the last year and a half that I was working with a bass player, and he co-wrote a lot of the songs with me, and it's Dave Murguia. He's a really good bass player. And we were going to put this out originally as a band, as Ms. Apocalypse, and what happened was I took a detour. We took a detour together, and we're both ex-drug addicts now, or at least I know I am. And so I decided that the music is good. It's definitely, it's good. They're good songs. I'll give it that. But they don't really represent where I am now. So I decided that Ms. Apocalypse needs to be more about where I am now, because I'm a very angry person by nature, and I'm mean-spirited by nature. And so that never goes away. So I thought, okay, well, we're going to put this out under the moniker of Lori Bravo Raped, and it's Black Rabbits, which is one of the songs. It's called Black Rabbit, but they're Black Rabbits, and Black Rabbits to me is a metaphor for addiction and the different things that I get myself into when I'm left to my own devices. You know, it's like the idle hands free the devil's work is totally me. You know, I'm an ex-alcoholic, I'm an ex-druggie, so I want to take that addiction album and put it out there for people to listen to where I was. And then the new record, Ms. Apocalypse, I'm writing now. The song you heard will be on it. Of course, it won't sound exactly like that. It'll be a lot different, I'm sure, when I get done with actually arranging it. But, yeah, and everything is going to be done by me. I'm going to be playing everything on it, including the drums. And, yeah, and I'm doing it the rest of the year. I'm doing it where I'm going to be traveling places. I'm slated to go to different places like Portland, Seattle, possibly New York City, and definitely Tennessee, Johnson City, and I'm going to try to record one song in each place that I'm at, and then I'm going to compile everything, and at the end of the year, I'm going to put it up and give it its own life and my fans will have a whole slew of songs, basically, under the Ms. Apocalypse title.
You say you were a drug addict. What was your drug of choice?
My favorite was speed because, of course, I like to, you know, I'm a driven person with a type A personality, so I don't sleep naturally anyway, and so it just makes sense. I'm a caffeine person, you know. So, yeah, methamphetamine's my favorite. That's what I was addicted to. I was a heroin addict for 2 years, too, for a while, but that was really boring. That's the only time I wasn't creative, and I realized that that's not the kind of... For some reason, that drug doesn't make me creative. Apparently, with other people, it does. But, yeah, so definitely anything that keeps me awake. Now I'm into healthy things, so whatever, but, yeah. I got off heroin... And then I became addicted to speed again. And then, so it's all in the past now. So, you know, yeah, it's all good. But that was something that's really big here. Arizona is known as like the methamphetamine capital of this side of the country. So it's a really big problem out here.
I'm talking to Gory Lori Bravo, the number one female for extreme death metal, who's certainly living up to it in this interview, and now she's with Gory Lori Bravo. Well, Lori Bravo's Raped is her. At the moniker Gory Lori is just my thing. I'm Rich Castle from DeathScream.net. Lori, what are your beliefs about love and Jesus?
I love Jesus. Well, Jesus himself is pretty hot. You know, I like long hair guys, so I always thought he was hot. I definitely would have pulled a Mary Magdalene and followed the guy. I mean, he's a rock star, you know, and I'm all about, like, hanging out with the coolest person, so, you know. But love is absolute. It's something that I have a lot of. I